Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Amish Country Secret by Lenora Wirth. This murder witness is returning home with a secret someone wants to bury. With a hit out on her life, Samantha Nerndon escapes to the one place she knows she'll be safe, her Amish grandmother's empty house. But when a tornado flings her car into Micah's field, her plans for solitary refuge end. The Amish bachelor knows the Englisher is trouble, but he's falling for her anyway. Can Micah keep Samantha alive and convince her to stay?
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm Sarah Hemmerker, your host, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today I'm with Lenora Wirth. She writes romance and romantic suspense, and she's written a lot of books, 80-plus books. I am, like, in awe, Lenora. That's like, incredible. So welcome
Thank
to
you.
My show.
Thank you for having me.
So, I have to ask, how did you write 80 books? Are you, like, Superwoman or something?
No. I wish, but I don't know how I've done it. I always wanted to write since a very young age, and when I finally had the opportunity, it took a few years, but once I got started, it was just the way it was. I really enjoy writing. I have a vivid imagination, and I look back and think, how did I do that? I've written books, novellas, short stories, poetry, worked for newspapers, worked for magazines, and it was all coming from this need to, just write, put words on the page. So I just kept persevering, and it happened.
I think that's wonderful because, it's just, I always think it's just great when people can, use the gifts that God has given them in writing and, get it out there. I mean, writing's so personal in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, even writing, I'm a freelance writer. I work for magazines. I write a lot for magazines and other things. And, it's still, every time you get it out there, I still get a thrill seeing my name in print.
I do too. I still pinch myself and say, when are they going to figure out I really don't know what I'm doing?
Yes, I know. And I'm like, and they're paying me for this. That's even,
I don't know.
It's so better. I just find it. It's just so fun and fascinating to do all at the same time. So, why romantic suspense? What drew you to that particular genre?
Well, I actually fell into that. I started writing. I wrote for Avalon, 3 books for Avalon, which I loved, and they were sweet romance, and they didn't pay a whole lot, but, yeah, I'd write for free, but don't tell anybody that.
It'll be our secret.
Yeah, it'll be our secret. Then I started writing for Love Inspired, and I've been with them since 1997. I sold to them in 1996, and I was part of the launch, the 12 launch books. I think I was the very last one. But, and then I kind of stumbled into one of the Love Inspires I wrote was a suspense, and I really enjoyed that. It was very intense and one of the harder books I've ever written. And then when they opened up their suspense line, I sent them some proposals, and that's kind of where it got started. And I never dreamed I'd write suspense, but I've written a lot of books that I never thought I'd write, be able to write. So I really enjoy the suspense, and I love writing the just the romance, too. I enjoy both.
So, writing can be hard sometimes. Sometimes just sitting down and putting the words, and we all – some people, struggle more than others with, writing block or just getting yourself motivated. So do you have a particular go-to when you need kind of a pick-me-up, kind of something that kind of gets your writing fueled and flowing?
Yes, I when we lived in Louisiana for 30 years, and there I would usually go for long walks around the block, or there was a park near our house, and I'd walk there. So walking has always been a good thing for me to do. It kind of clears my mind, and I guess, you know, it rejuvenates your body too. Now we live in Florida, and I walk on the beach, and that's where I get some of my best ideas, and I always have my phone or something with me. I can just jot down, you know, on your phone where you have that little note app.
Mm-hmm.
I look through mine every now and then, and I'll see like 5 or 6 words, and I'm like, what was that supposed to be? And I think it was probably an idea I had. And the beach really is just so peaceful and so beautiful. One of God's most amazing things, you know, to look at the ocean. So that has helped me a lot. I've never had writer's block because, as you said, I've worked for magazines and newspapers, and if I can't work on one thing, I'll write some, you know, work on something else, and that usually keeps me from getting writer's block. So the beach is my go-to place when I do feel like if a proposal is turned down or the ideas just aren't coming, and I, you know, lament to my husband, oh, my career's over. He's like, go for a walk on the beach. And that has worked many times. So that's my go-to.
Your husband knows you very well, I think.
He does. We've been together for 45 years, so he knows me very well.
Chocolate
helps too.
Yes, yeah. Sweets help a lot. Walks are good. Nature is such a restorative. I'm always reminding my kids of that, especially in this time when, you know, my two high schoolers have to do virtual school, and I'm like, you know, early days, I was like, you have to get out. You have to get outside, even if it's just to sit on our front porch, you know. Or
that's right. I grew up on a farm, and when I was the youngest of 7 children, so I felt like an only child, and I would just go and sit on the back of my daddy's pickup truck and just get, you know, take in some air or ride my bike, and I think that's where I got my love of being outdoors. I think that helped me a lot growing up, and it certainly helps me now. So,
yeah, there is something so rejuvenating about nature. I think God created it that way for us. You know,
exactly.
That it does, you know, draw. And I just, and, you know, and I'm always, my kids are grumpy. I'm like, you've been outside lately? Go outside.
That's right. That's kind of what
I tell myself that too. They see that, or exercise, you know, one of the two. Pick one.
Exactly.
Pick one and do it. We'll all be happier when you're less grumpy. So now with 80 books, do you have a favorite or favorites of the books that you've written?
I have a couple of favorites. The first book that always pops into my head when people say, well, what's your favorite one? It was one of my first few suspense I wrote. I wrote like this 5-book series about 5 Christian men who had all been military men. And they formed this organization where they would go and help people in crisis. And they tried to do no harm, but they would rescue people and go into dangerous situations. And one of those books was titled Heart of the Night. That's from some poem I saw a long time ago. Again, I'd written that down somewhere and thought, what does this mean? But I remembered what it meant. And Eli Trudeau, he is a Louisiana man, a Cajun, and he had a tormented heart, and he just showed up in another book, and it kind of like, hey, write my story. And so I wrote his story, and it's always stayed with me, because he was probably one of the first really tormented heroes, I mean deeply tormented, kind of a Heathcliff kind of guy, and it was a joy to write his book and find him a woman who could match him, and he did. At the first scene, he's trying to break into her house, and she flips him over and puts her, you know, kind of puts him down and says, what do you want?
Yeah.
And so he's like, this one's a little different. So it was a challenge and kind of a dark, dark story, but it had a happy ending. So he's my favorite And then the Amish book that got my whole Amish career started. Again, I was walking on the beach when this character came into my head. Jeremiah Weaver, he is one of my favorite heroes, and that book was nominated for ARETA in 2019, so I was thrilled about that. It was a different kind of story, really a lot of conflict, and one of my favorite books, I have to admit, and I never, ever dreamed I'd write Amish, but I did, and I love it.
So how did you, because obviously this is a fairly new genre for you. What made you decide to slip into Amish romantic suspense?
Well, I think it had to be a God thing. And to be clear, this one was not a romantic suspense, but I got like a 6-book contract, and then 2 of them were suspense. But he's in all the books. He kind of follows everybody around. But what happened was I sent in some proposals, and none of them were working, and I'll tell my husband, I guess my career's over. I can finally read all the books I have in my house. And he's like, let's go for a walk on the beach. He actually went with me. And we're walking along, and I just see Jeremiah in my head, and I'm like, I could write that book. And I told my husband, I said, I think I can write an Amish book. And he goes, and when I gave him the premise, he goes, is that a thing? And I said, well, I don't know. I guess I could make it a thing. And what happened was he left the Amish to join the military, which is unheard of. And I'm thinking, you know, my editors are going to laugh when I go back and tell them this. And so I emailed my editor. I said, what would you think about an Amish man who leaves and goes into the military? Maybe he becomes a Navy SEAL. And I told my husband, I said, well, this could be the end for me. And then my editor came back and said, send us a proposal. And I sent a short proposal, just like a 1-page. And then my agent called and said, they're offering you a 6-book contract. And I'm like, what?
Oh, my goodness. That's great.
That was one of those moments where you know it's something greater than you and your little mind at work. And I wrote that story, very emotional story, and then I wrote 5 more. There was one in there that was actually a regular suspense, but they've all been close to my heart. I've grown really close to all the characters, and I hopefully will write more from the same community. And I just kind of panicked when it happened. I'm like, okay, now you have to write it. What are you going to do? So I immediately started researching and calling people, and I read a lot of Amish books, so that helped a lot too. But that's kind of that story, which a lot of people have heard that story. They're like, you really did that? I'm like, that really happened.
I think that's cool.
To make it even more interesting, when I started on the 2nd book, I still was not confident, and I went to the beach, and I was laying there reading a book, and I looked up, and this an Amish woman was walking on the beach, walking toward me. And so I'm like, okay, God, I'll never doubt again. So we didn't talk to each other, but she walked past me, and then she just kind of went away, and I'm like, that was strange in a good way, but yeah, when I told my husband, he said, what were you drinking? I said, water. So, anyway, that's some of my wild stories.
Yeah, no, I think those are, you know, I think that it is always fascinating to hear how God encourages our hearts, right?
Yes, he really did.
You know, and sometimes we do, because we think, oh man, the editor hated that, I'm never going to write again, I am a failure. I mean, are we immediately go there, no matter how sunny or optimistic we are when we're writers? I think we all just kind of are like, I'm never going to do it, I can't, never going to be published again.
That's right.
I'm never, you know.
That's right. And you know, I tell people with every book I feel that way. And they're like, even now, after all those books, I'm like, yes, even now, because I think it's because books are so personal. And when you put something out there that personal, that's a part of you, it really, you're exposing yourself to the world, and that's a very difficult thing to do at times. So I think that's why we all feel that way.
Yeah. No, I agree, and that's why we take the rejection hard.
Yes. And people always say, well, don't, it's not personal. And I'm like, well, no, but yes, It feels that way. Yes.
Well, because we're not, as fiction writers, we're not proposing something concrete. You know, exactly. I wrote a book on parenting. I'm like, okay, I had research with it. I talked to parents. There was, you know, more than, I mean, I was there in it, but there was more than me in it. You know, but fiction is all my brain on the paper, you know. So it does feel like a commentary on who I am.
Exactly. I know what you mean. It's a challenge, but a challenge that we can't resist. So that's what makes it so fascinating.
Yes, I know. And we can. It's like, you know, it's something you have, when you're truly a writer, when you get the rejection and you're tore up about it for a while, because we're only human, right?
But then we're like,
okay, I got to get this other story out, or I'll change it. I'll make, you know,
that's
when you know.
That is the crucial thing that makes you a better writer, is being able to keep going, keep doing it, even when you've been rejected, because that just means the next one is going to be the one you work on the hardest.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that is great advice, no matter if you're a writer or if you're not a writer, just to keep pressing forward. So thank you. And we have to stop now because we're almost out of time. But thank you so much for being on my show today, Lenora.
You're right. That did go fast. Well, I enjoyed it. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And I appreciate you having me on. And I hope that this helps other writers, and I hope our readers enjoy it too.
Well, thank you. And you've been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and my guest today is Lenora Wirth. I hardly need to introduce her, with 80-plus books out there. You can find out how to connect with her in the notes for this podcast, and stay tuned for an excerpt from her latest, Amish Country Secret.
Now an excerpt from Amish Country Secret by Lenora Wirth. A storm was coming. Samantha Herndon had heard the radio reports all day long. Tornado watches, strong winds, possible tornadic damage. Seek shelter, stay safe. But she had so much more to worry about. Watching someone being murdered kind of outranked even the bad weather. Still in shock, she tried to get that horrible scene out of her head. But how could she? They knew she'd witnessed them killing that helpless homeless man. And now he'd sent someone after her. She kept glancing back into the rearview mirror while a steady shiver moved down her spine. He was coming for her. A shiny black pickup truck had been following her since she'd turned off the main highway. She'd been so careful. But he had ways of finding people. He'd always made that a joke between them. She'd never dreamed she'd get on his bad side. Stay safe. She had to do that first. A few more miles and she could finally take a deep breath. That truck was probably going in the same direction. So she kept driving and prayed her old economy car would hold out. She had to get to Campton Creek before night set in. She could hide out there in the world she used to know. They'd never find her there. She prayed she'd gotten away before they'd realized she had escaped. They'd already figured out what she'd done, but she needed to get the evidence to someone who could help her. When the tiny dog cuddling a blanket on the seat beside her whimpered, Samantha reached out a shaking hand to the scared little fellow. "It's okay, Patch. We'll be safe at Grandma's house." The little black and white spotted dog looked up at her with trusting dark eyes. The black circle around one of those eyes was the reason his now dead owner had named him Patch. a mixed breed of Chihuahua and Jack Russell, a Jack Chi, the little dog had short, silky hair and big ears. Samantha had fallen for him the minute she'd found him and recognized him. Patch was a keeper. "If I hadn't found you wandering around, I would have never realized what's been going on right under my nose," she said, giving Patch another quick rub on his tiny head. Samantha watched the sky, then checked the long road behind her. How had she managed to get caught up in such a web of evil? Because she'd fallen for the wrong man. Years ago, she'd left her Amish community to return to her mother's side, but since then, she'd finished college and become a veterinarian. Some called her weird, and some called her soft-hearted and over-the-top because she cared so much for innocent animals. This time, that caring trait had brought her Patch. It had also brought her face-to-face with the ugly truth. She'd been caught between two worlds, but she'd always known where her true home was, here with Grandma. Grandma wouldn't be at the house to meet her this time. Thankful that her grandma was off visiting her sister, Samantha checked the sky and tried to hurry the car along the winding road. This trip would make Samantha an interloper, but this was the best place to hide out. He couldn't find her in her grandmother's small country home. Besides, she'd never told him she'd once lived here. She looked into all the mirrors. The road behind her was empty. Maybe that truck had turned off. Maybe she was imagining things. Patch leaned into her soft touch, some of his anxiety settling. Then his big ears perked up. The wind changed, and everything went still. Static hissed across the radio. Samantha hit the dash, trying to get the decrepit radio to work. Then she heard the sirens blaring through the little box. Tornado warning. And from what she could hear, the storm was passing right over Campton Creek. She glanced in the mirror again and saw her worst nightmare. The truck she'd seen earlier was real, and the driver was barreling toward her as fast as the storm whirling over them. She saw the driver and another man on the passenger side of the huge vehicle. Had he tracked her from the moment she'd left upstate New York? Samantha pushed her car to go faster along the curve of the narrow road that ribboned around the mountainside. The wind held her back, and the truck behind her came within inches of her vehicle. She made it down the mountain and looked back one last time. The truck accelerated and came charging toward her. She didn't even have time to brace for the hit. Bam! The force jarred her. Patch barked and almost fell off the seat. "Hold on, Patch!" The big truck came again, harder this time. The hit sent her car spiraling into a spin. Samantha screamed, her hands clutching the steering wheel. When she heard the ominous sound that roared like a runaway freight train, Samantha felt almost thankful for the storm. It might just save her from him. Checking one more time in the rearview mirror, she gasped when she saw the pickup truck charging toward her again. This time, he attempted to knock her car right off the road and into a deep ditch. Samantha screamed and prepared for the crash, but suddenly the wind changed, and the truck pulled back and to the right. Panicked, she glanced in the mirror and watched as the truck behind her careened and trembled, wobbling like a top as it sailed over into the ditch and landed on its side. The wind had pitched the truck off the road. "Thank you, Lord." That was her last thought before her car shifted and seemed to lift up like a toy in a giant's hands.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions. at sarahhamakerfiction.com.